Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. I've got a handout here, which it came out of the MacArthur Study Bible, and I thought it was a real good chart showing the kings and the prophets versus time, and shows who was contemporary with who, and what events were happening, like the Babylonian exile and so on. And I can't keep them all straight sometimes as far as who's at what period of time and so on. And so anyway, just a little FYI on this. And I'll be talking about a couple of these prophets today. But today I'm going to talk about prophecies given in the Old Testament that were fulfilled by Christ. And actually, I want to do one thing real quick. It's good. We're good. We're going to do one thing real quick. I'm going to write, if I can find a marker. No markers. Well, I'll go ahead and get started. As I said, I'm going to talk about Old Testament prophecies that told of the Lord and how they were fulfilled by Christ. And before we start that exactly, got a question for you. How many of you remember probability theory? Or having taken, you know, basic probability and statistics or anything like that in school.
I didn't think so. I just had it on the
front. Well, okay. Well, I did a little bit of a refresher for this because I got curious. And so I'm going to write a couple numbers on the board, and you'll see how they apply later.
Can we open up a word of prayer?
Yes. Let me write this down, and we will.
Okay. Father, thank you, Lord, for this moment we're about to do the class, Lord. And I pray that our hearts be ready. And thank you for my brother who prayed for the class. We honor you, we worship you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the ministry, and Lord, thank you for everything you do for us. Open our hearts and our mind. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, got a couple numbers on there that we'll get back to. And if you can't read them, the first one is 536,970,912. And the second one is a decimal point and 8 zeros and 1862645. I'll get back to that in a minute. So as I said, I'm going to talk about the prophecies of the Lord. So if you flip a coin, and you can get heads or tails, right? What's the probability of getting a head?
1 and 2.
1 and 2, right. If you do it twice, what's the probability of getting 2 heads on 2 flips of the coin? 1/4, you're right. So, just keep that in mind. So now we're going to start talking about the prophecies of the Lord. The first one, and the oldest prophecy, I think, in the Bible, is Genesis 3:15. And you can look these up. I've got lots of scriptures we're going to be covering. Genesis 3:15 says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." So, that of course is a prophecy toward Christ being bruised and Satan being, hit, bruised on the head. John chapter 12, verse 31 through 33 says, "Now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death which he was to die. This, of course, refers to the cross and how the cross was basically, our salvation, and how Christ was bruised, but Satan was ultimately crushed by the cross. Now, the betrayal of Jesus was foretold by David that he would be betrayed, and of course Judas did that. That was prophesied in Psalm 41, verse 9, and fulfilled in Mark 14, verses 10 and 11. Psalm 41, 9 says, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Mark 14, 10, "Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And they were glad when they heard this and promised to give him money. And he began seeking how to betray him at an opportune time." That's two prophecies right there about the Lord. So, number three, Jesus Christ would be forsaken by his disciples. And that was prophesied by Zechariah in Zechariah 13:7 and fulfilled in Mark 14:50. Zechariah 13:7 says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man, my associate, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones." Mark 14:50 says, "And they all left him and fled." So Christ was forsaken by his disciples. The price of his betrayal of 30 pieces of silver was also foretold by Zechariah. In Zechariah 11, verse 12, and then it was fulfilled in total accuracy in Matthew 26, 15. Zechariah 11:12 says, "I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages, but if not, never mind. So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages." Now, the reason I gave you these sheets, that's kind of interesting, is we'll be talking about David shortly, and you can see that David was 1,000 years before Christ. Zechariah, if you look over in the sheet on the second page, started his ministry about 520 BC. And he was a contemporary of Haggai. So roughly 500 years between the two of them, but amazingly, 1,000 years before Christ and then 500 years before Christ. I don't know about you all, but I can barely conceive of 200 years. You know, I can't imagine 400 years ago when the Mayflower landed, for example. But 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, now 2,000, you know, 3,000 years ago between now and David. And yet these prophecies were given and recorded with total accuracy. Number four, let's see. I think I read Zechariah 11:12. They weighed him out 30 shekels of silver as my wages. Matthew 26:15 says, "And what are you willing to give me to betray him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. So again, another prophecy foretold, this time 500 years before Christ, and fulfilled exactly. Zechariah also foretold what would be done with the betrayal money. Zechariah 11:13 said, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Throw it to the potter, that magnificent price at which I was valued by them.' So I took the 30 shekels of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord." Matthew 27:3. "Then when Judas had betrayed him, he saw that he had been condemned. He felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' But they said, 'What is that to us? See that to yourself.' And he threw the 30 pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest took the 30 pieces of silver and said, 'It is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood.' So they conferred together with the money, bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers." Again, fulfilled exactly. You know, 500 years ago, it talks about 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the potter in the house of the Lord. And that's exactly what Judas did. He threw the 30 pieces of silver into the temple, and the priest took it and bought the potter's field. Number six, Isaiah prophesied that Jesus Christ would be sacrificed as the Passover Lamb of God. This was prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse 7, fulfilled in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, 1 Peter 1, 18 to 20. And of course, as many of you know, Isaiah 53 was written, I forget how many years before Christ. Well, this is about 725 years before Christ. And Isaiah 53, of course, foretells of the events on the cross. So, in Isaiah 53, verse 7, "And he was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, so he did not open his mouth." 1 Corinthians 5, 7 says, "Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ our Passover has also been sanctified, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your fathers, but with the precious blood as a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but it has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. So again, Christ is foretold as the Passover lamb. Isaiah also prophesied that the scourging and mocking and physical abuse that Christ would suffer. Isaiah 50, verse 6, and that's fulfilled in Matthew 27, verses 26 to 30, and Matthew 26, verse 67. Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. Matthew 27, 26. Then he released Barabbas for them, but after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. And as we go through this, you'll see the things that happen to the Lord. And we really need to keep these things in mind. David also had a prophecy of Christ's physical abuse, prophesied in Psalm 22, verse 17, fulfilled in Matthew 27, 26. Psalm 22 is called the Messianic Psalm, and it talks about Christ on the cross and what he was going through on the cross. Psalm 22, 17 says, I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. Matthew 27, 26. Then he released Barabbas for them, but after having Jesus scourged, they handed him to be crucified. David prophesied of the shame and the dishonor that Jesus would suffer being condemned as a criminal. And this is prophesied in Psalm 69, verse 9, and Psalm 69, verses 19 and 20, fulfilled in Matthew 26, 55. Psalm 69, 9, For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Psalm 69, 19, You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. All my adversaries are before you. Reproach has broken my heart and I am so sick. And I looked for sympathy, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Matthew 26, 55. At that time, Jesus said to the crowds, Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. So again, he's being treated as a criminal. So that's nine prophecies about the Lord that were fulfilled exactly. What do you think the probability of that, all nine of those occurring exactly as prophesied would be? I'll give you a hint. It's 1 over 2 to the nth power. So 1 over 2 to the ninth. It's 1 part in 512, which works out to be 0.153%. So for 9 prophecies to be fulfilled, the probability of all 9 of them being fulfilled is 0.19%. So it's getting pretty small. Number 10, there would also be cruel and lying witnesses against him. Prophesied in Psalm 35, verse 11, fulfilled in Mark 14, 55 to 57. Psalm 35, malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I do not know. Mark 14:55. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and they were not finding any. For many were giving false testimony against them, but their testimony was not consistent. Some stood up and began to give false testimony against him, saying, so again, lying against the Lord. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would not make an effort to defend himself at his trial. This was prophesied in Isaiah 53, verse 7, fulfilled in Matthew 27, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 53, 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. Matthew 27:13. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. So Isaiah foretold the Christ crucifixion as the sin offering of the world. Isaiah 53 again, verses 4 to 6 and 10 through 11. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. John 19, verses 16 to 19. So he then handed him over to be crucified. And they took Jesus, therefore he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two other men, one on either side, and Jesus in between. Pilate also wrote the inscription and put it on the cross as it was written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. So Isaiah prophesied that he was to be numbered among transgressors or lawbreakers. Isaiah 53:12. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Luke 23:32. Two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the skull, they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right, the other on the left. So again, he's a transgressor, a lawbreaker, a criminal. David prophesied that his hands and feet would be pierced. Psalm 22:16, and fulfilled in Mark 15:25 and John 20:25-27. Psalm 22:16. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Mark 15:25. It was the third hour when they crucified him. John 20:25. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, and this is Thomas talking, "Unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and touch here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." So now that's 14 prophecies. The parting of the garments was also prophesied by David. Psalm 22:18. "And they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." John 19:24. "So they said to one another, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to decide whose it shall be.'" And this was to fulfill the scripture, "They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." David prophesied that they would give him vinegar to drink. Psalm 69:21. "They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Matthew 27:34. "They gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink." Number 17, David also prophesied that many would be watching Jesus during the crucifixion. Psalm 22:17. "I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me." Matthew 27:36. "And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And all the crowds who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts." And number 18, the Bible says that among those who were watching would be our Lord's family and friends, who would stand at a distance. Psalm 38:11, and fulfilled in Luke 23:49. "My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off." Luke 23:49. "And all his acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things." Number 19, some of his observers would shake their heads at him. Prophesied in Psalm 109:25. "I have become a reproach to them. When they see me, they wag their head." Matthew 27:39-40. "And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads, and saying, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" Number 20. The words of his enemies were prophesied by David, again in Psalm 22:8. "Commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him." Matthew 27:43. "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he delights in him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The robbers who have been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. That's Matthew 27:44. So now we've got 20 events, all of them happening exactly as prophesied. Again, this is like flipping a coin and having heads all 20 times. So that's pretty improbable, don't you think? Well, it works out to be one part in 1,048,576, or about, 0.95367, so on. So Or if you know scientific notation, it's 9.53 times 10 to the minus 7. So it's getting really, really small. One part in over a million right now for all 20 prophecies to have happened. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would make intercession for sinners. This intercession began during his crucifixion, prophesied again in Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured himself out to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Luke 23, 34. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among them. So even as he's on the cross, he's praying for the people that are crucifying him. David prophesied that the thoughts of Jesus at the height of his suffering. Psalm 22, 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Matthew 27, 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Zechariah taught that his body would be pierced with a spear. Zechariah 12:10. Zechariah 12:10 says, I will pour out on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced. Again, this is a prophetic verse. They will look on me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. They will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. John 19, 34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who had seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may also believe. For these things shall come to pass to fulfill Scripture, not a bone of him shall be broken. And again, another Scripture says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. That's John 19, 37. Isaiah also spoke of Christ being pierced in Isaiah 53 again. Isaiah 53, 5 says, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. David prophesied that Jesus would commit his spirit to the Lord. Psalm 31, 5. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O God, God of truth, O Lord, God of truth. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. That's Luke 23, 46. David prophesied the last words of the Lord on the cross. Again, in Psalm 22, talks about everything that Christ is going through and fulfilled in John 19, 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the Scripture, said, I am thirsty. And a jar of sour wine was standing there. So they put up a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, No bone of the Passover lamb was to be broken. In Exodus 12:46, it says that. And not a bone of his would be broken. Psalm 34, and fulfilled in John 19, verses 32 to 36. Exodus chapter 12, verse 46 says, it is to be eaten in a single house. You are not to bring forth any of the flesh outside of the house, nor are you to break any bone of it. John 19, 32. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and the other who was crucified with him. John 19, 33. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may also believe. For verse 36, for these things came to pass to fulfill Scripture, not a bone of him will be broken. It was also foretold that the tomb of a rich man would be his burial place. And this was foretold by Isaiah, again in Isaiah 53, verse 9, and fulfilled in Matthew 27, verses 57 to 60. Isaiah 53, 9, his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was a rich man in his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Matthew 27, 57. And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. The nailing of Jesus' hands and feet was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? And then he will say, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. John 20, 27. He said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here with your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on a colt or a donkey, prophesied again in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Mark 11, 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and put their coats on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their coats in the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple, and after looking at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. Now that's 29 different prophecies, all given in the Old Testament up to 1,000 years before Christ. Again, what do you think the probability of that is? 29 separate events. It's right here. One in 536 million
or 0.00 way 0, you know. It's just phenomenal to me that 29 separate events taught by, in this case, 3 or 4 different authors over a 1,000-year period before Christ could be fulfilled. I mean, that's divine. That's God and how he works everything to his honor and glory. Luke 22:44 says, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, and that all things which were written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So we know there's a ton more prophecies that haven't been fulfilled yet. And that's another interesting story, is to just start writing down or listing the prophecies that haven't been fulfilled yet. We saw 29 today just pertaining to Christ. And I don't know how many have yet to be fulfilled, but that's a study I want to do. Zechariah was a contemporary of Haggai, and this was about 15 years after the Jews returned from the Babylonian exile. His first words were about 500 BC. David wrote 73 Psalms, and David ascended the throne of Judah in 1010 BC at about 30 years of age, and then he became king over all Israel in 1003-1002 BC. David reigned for 40 years. So all of his prophecies were written 1,000 years before Christ. As we've talked, Psalm 22 is a graphic picture of crucifixion. The bones of the Lord, the hands, the feet, the shoulders, the pelvis are out of joint. In Psalm 22:14, the profuse perspiration caused by intense suffering is given in Psalm 22:14. The action of the heart affected is shown in verse 14. Strength exhausted and extreme thirst in Psalm 22:15. The hands and feet pierced, Psalm 22:16. Partial nudity with hurt to modesty, 22:7, Psalm 22:17. And all of these are incidental or happen as a result of the crucifixion. The desolate cry of Psalm 22:1, again, it's talked in Matthew 27:46. So, just and the thing that is amazing when you think about this is this: all of Psalm 22 was given 1,000 years before Christ, before there was a Roman Empire. And crucifixion was a Roman form of capital punishment. The Jews stoned, but the Romans crucified. And yet crucifixion is told of the Lord 1,000 years before even the Romans came. Well, 1,000 years before Christ. So let's read Psalm 22. Somebody want to read it?
I'll read it. "My God, my God, why..." How far do you want me to go?
The whole thing.
Okay. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance by the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you cannot answer. And by night, but I have no rest. Yet you are holy, all you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you, our fathers, trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cry out and were delivered. And you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm, not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneered at me. They separated with the lip. They wagged their heads, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. Yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me. As ravening and roaring lion, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you laid me on the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me, and a band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hand and my feet. I can count on my bones. They stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, Lord, be not far off. Of you my help, hasten to my assistance. Deliver my soul from the sword, my only life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, from the horns of the wild oxen, you answered me. I will tell your name to my brother. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. O you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, O you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard. From you comes my praises in the great assembly. I shall pay my vows before those who fear him. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations will worship before you. For the kingdom of the Lord, and the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship. All those who go down on the dust will bow before him. Even he who cannot keep his soul alive, posterity will serve him. It will be told of the Lord to the coming generations. They will come and will declare his righteousness to all people who will be born that he has performed.
As we said, talking about Isaiah prophesied from the year in which King Uzziah died, which is about 740 or 736 BC, until the year of the deliverance of Jerusalem from Sennacherib in 701. So Isaiah was probably born about 760 BC, and Micah was a younger contemporary. Isaiah's prophecies were written about 740 years before Christ. So let's read Isaiah 53. One of you want to read it? Okay.
Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He has not stately form or majesty that he will look at him, nor an appearance that we will take pleasure in him. He was despised and abandoned by men, a man of great pain and familiar with sickness, and like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we had no regard for him. However, it was our sickness that he himself bore, and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. For the Lord has caused the wrongdoing of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was caught up from the land of the living, for the wrongdoing of my people, to whom the blow was due, and his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done to no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord desired to crush him, causing him grief. If he renders himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, for he will bear the wrongdoing. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was counted with wrongdoers. Yet he himself bore the sin of many, and interceded for the wrongdoers.
So did you hear the prophecies in these two chapters, Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. And as you think about that, I'm also reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And we hear this every time we do communion. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." It's amazing to me the suffering that the Lord went through. And we see it very, very graphically in these two, especially in these two chapters, but also in the other scriptures that were given. And yet, he did it for us. As it says in Isaiah 53, verse 11, in which we just read, "As a result of the anguish of his soul, he," meaning God the Father, will see it and be satisfied. "By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities." And that's what Christ has done for us. He bore those iniquities. And what does Christ do? "I will allot to him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he has poured himself out to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors." So Christ interceded in our behalf. And we will share ultimately in his blessings that he has for us. So with that in mind, I think that we should keep these things in mind, especially what the Lord has done for us. And it's amazing to me the suffering that he went through, yet he did it willingly for us. And as I said, the probabilities of all of these prophecies being fulfilled is just mind-boggling to me. And so, as we go about our day, think about these things. And remember what he has done for us. Scott, would you like to close?
miracle of your word that you gave us over thousands of years, specific accuracy of the prophecies that you laid out, which really remove all doubt or question as to who you are. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to just reflect on these things on a weekly basis, occasionally as we take communion, Lord, help us to live lives in light of the work that you have done. Help us to have all of our behavior and actions shaped by these truths. Lord, help us to use our time wisely that you give us here on this earth to be about your business. Help us to strive to hear those words one day, well done, our good and faithful servant. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it. It's in your name we pray.
Amen.